another side note, it might not be too long before they try to require it here in the good old United States of America. All right, take your Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel, if you would, please. 1 Samuel chapter 19. As we continue looking at the doctrines of the Holy Spirit, we're going to look at verses 20 through 23 to start with. 1 Samuel chapter 19, starting in verse 20. And Saul sent messengers to take David, and when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. And when it was told Saul, he sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise. And Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they prophesied also. Then went he also to Ramah, and came to a great well that is in Seku, and he asked and said, Where are Samuel and David? And one said, Behold, they be at Naoth in Ramah. And he went thither to Naoth, to Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him also, and he went on and prophesied until he came to Naoth in Ramah. Let's pray. Father, again, what a blessing it is to be here tonight. And Father, it's a blessing to have cooler temperatures, which has been nice as well today. And we just pray, Father, that you would continue to do a work in each of our lives as we meet together here tonight, as we look into your word, as Father, as we look into this idea of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. I pray, Father, that we would be drawn closer to you, that our faith would increase, that once we're drawn closer to you, we would become closer with one another. And Father, I pray that you would be glorified. I pray that you'd give me the very words to preach tonight, Father, as we look into your word now, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we have the work of the Holy Spirit in relation to Old Testament Israel. The Old Testament ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Old Testament ministry of the Holy Spirit was not restricted to the spiritual or even to the saved. As I've mentioned before, the Holy Spirit would come on and leave people at will. So it wasn't like we are today when we get saved. We get saved and the Holy Spirit comes and indwells in us. In the Old Testament, it could come on people and leave and come back again later or whatever. It traveled. It didn't stay with the person like we have today. Aren't you glad that we live in this day and age where we have the Holy Spirit everywhere we go? We don't have to worry about, is the Holy Spirit with me or not? Because the Bible says, if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit indwelling in you everywhere you go. Doesn't matter where you're at. Doesn't come and go. The Spirit came upon all of Saul's soldiers and later Saul while they were trying to capture David and caused them to prophesy. The Spirit came upon John the Baptist from the womb. If you turn over to Luke chapter 1 and verse 15, Luke 1 and 15, says, For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Even from his mother's womb. Now, again, keep in mind this was before Christ was ascended, and we have the Holy Spirit all the time. And then even though the life of John the Baptist is recorded in the New Testament Gospels, he lived and ministered under the old covenant era, introducing the one who brought the new covenant. That's what John the Baptist came for, right? To prepare the way for Jesus Christ to come. That's what he came for. And so, what a blessing. Can you imagine being able to have such a ministry as being to prepare the way of the Savior of the world, the Creator of the world? I mean, what a huge honor that was bestowed upon him. But is he any greater than anyone else? Still a sinner saved by grace, just like the rest of us. You know, we get to heaven and we keep thinking, man, it's going to be great to talk to John the Baptist. It's going to be great to talk to David. It's going to be great to talk to Paul, Peter, right? I mean, all these different, you can just put in name after name, Joseph, put in all these names, and are they any better than anybody else? Just a sinner saved by grace, just like the rest of us. Just people that were willing to be used of God. Now, is your name ever going to be written in the Bible? Well, Brother Daniel's name's in the Bible, right? But that's not the same thing. But we're not going to be able to be in there, but it doesn't mean that they're any better than we are. It's like I tell people all the time, the pastor of the church isn't any better than anybody else in the church. They just have different responsibilities. That's the difference. I'm just the under-shepherd, as was pointed out earlier. I'm just the under-shepherd. Huge responsibility comes with that, but that's just what I am. Just another servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Old Testament ministry of the Holy Spirit was not automatic upon salvation. There's no biblical statement of an automatic indwelling of all believers in the Old Testament era from the moment of salvation as there is in the New Testament era. The Old Testament ministry of the Holy Spirit was not permanent. It could be lost. Could be lost. In Psalm 51:11, and for sake of time I won't turn to each one of these, but Psalm 51:11, cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. David's crying that out to God, so that must mean that the Holy Spirit could leave him, right? Because he's crying out, please, do not take thy Holy Spirit from me, is what he's crying out to God for. And so it's possible. In 1 Samuel 16:14, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. So see, they could be taken away from time to time. 1 Samuel 18:12, and Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. So he saw that the Lord had come upon David, but that he had departed from Saul. So of course, would that not trouble you? It should. And then 1 Samuel 28:15-16 says, and Samuel said to Saul, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me, and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. Then said Samuel, wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee, and has become thine enemy? That's the last thing you want, is for the Lord to be your enemy. But he understood that's what happened. And why did that happen? Disobeyed God. Decided he was going to do things his way, right? That's why the Bible's so clear about when every man did that which was right in his own eyes, as I preached on, that we have a problem when that happens. We need to be following God and not man. We need to be doing it God's way and not our way. You know, we need to go back to, as I keep saying, not the cafeteria-style Bible, but the whole Bible. Take the whole thing, not just the parts we like, but the whole thing. I mean, I like buffets and stuff because you can take what you like and leave what you don't like. It doesn't work that way with God's Word. You get all of it, and we have to accept it all. And God knows what's best for us anyway. The Old Testament ministry of the Spirit was usually anointing for a special task, call, or purpose, not necessarily associated with distinctly spiritual matters. These Old Testament anointings were often for a very specific task or ability and did not necessarily have any moral effect upon the one anointed. A familiar example of this is Samson, who was giving supernatural strength for battle in spite of moral failure. I still, every time I think about Samson, I think, what were you thinking? I mean, how could this guy be so wise? I don't think he had much wisdom when you start reading about some of the things he did. But, you know, just because he had a moral failure didn't mean that God wasn't with him at times. These special anointings came from upon many Old Testament saints for a wide range of ministries and tasks. The anointing for wisdom, as with Joseph. Joseph's one of my favorite characters in the Bible because I love the story of Joseph. It's like what else could they do to Joseph and have him just say, you know what, I'm just trusting God? That's what we should do. People, you know, people get so bent out of shape when they're abused and treated wrongly and stuff, and they get way bent out of shape and they blame God and they blame everybody else and all. And Joseph's a great example. We could just say, I'm just going to trust God to take care of it. And just move forward. So in Genesis 41:38, it says, and Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? Talking about Joseph. Can we find, is there anyone like this out there? I mean, Joseph is an amazing character. And a type of Christ, by the way. The anointing for building God's house, for the artistic beauty and practical skills to construct the tabernacle, as with Bezalel in Exodus 31, verses 1 through 6. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, and in cutting of stones, and to set them in, and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. And I, behold, I have given him with him Aholiab, the son of Ahikshamach, of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee. Moving on to Exodus 35:30-32. And Moses said unto the children of Israel, see, the Lord hath called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he hath filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, and to devise curious works, to work in gold, and in silver, and in brass. All these things that he did. And then Exodus 28:3, and thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the Spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. So over and over and over we see where the Holy Spirit, where God used the Holy Spirit to come upon people to do specific tasks, to fulfill specific duties that God has called them to do. And so, thank God we have the Holy Spirit all the time. And something that gets to me at times is when people say, well, I just don't have the ability to do that. You're right, you don't have the ability to do that. But God will give it to you if he's called you to do it. He'll give you that ability. We have the Holy Spirit, right? Is anything impossible for God? Is anything too hard for God? There's a better way of putting it, right? Anything too hard for God? No, if he's given you the Holy Spirit and he's called you to do something, he's going to give you the ability to do it. You know, said for years. It's terrifying to me, and I was talking to a young man that has been called to preach, and God called him to the ministry, and they're starting a church in Athol, Idaho, and not far from where we live, and they don't have a start date yet, but that's the plan. And he says, I just get so nervous. I said, I've been preaching since 1999. I still get nervous. When we lose that nervousness, we're doing it in our flesh and not allowing God to do it through us. And so we need to keep our focus on the Lord and let him guide us and direct us and use us, because he can give us the ability to do whatever he calls us to do.